The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, you remember last night when I touched not Tim's butt? This is episode 183 of Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Was it Mal's butt?
No, it was, no, it was definitely my butt. Just like Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've done something similar once.
There was this guy at Derby last night.
I got the pic.
Okay, he looked fucking exactly like Tim from a distance.
An older Tim.
So I'm walking up behind him. I'm about to slap this dude on the ass and go, "Sup, girl?" And then I look at him. I'm like, "Oh fuck, that is not Tim."
You're like, "Skirt."
I mean, I was literally like inches away from hand to ass.
But you know the people that go to Derby, he probably would have
laughed really hard.
To his credit, too, it was like intermission, and he goes, "Hey,
you see that guy over there?
Look over there, that guy up on the bleachers." I'm like, "You mean Tim?" And he goes,
"That's not Tim."
I
almost don't know. Yeah, like Derby people that know you were like, "That dude looks just like Tim."
He said, "Hey, he was about to touch your butt," and he goes,
"Yeah, it's cool."
See, yeah, did I not call it?
Yeah. He was pretty much just as nonchalant about it as you would have been, so.
Yeah.
See, I had a similar thing happen with a friend, CJ, except I full-on committed, and not even committed, like, slapped this dude hard on the ass. Like,
over-committed.
There was a thing called passion that's like when I was more super Christian at the church, like a giant church conference.
That sounds very Christian-y.
Is in Atlanta. Yeah. My friend CJ, who's there, is a black guy. I swear, I think he's coming next, like walking by us with another group of people. So as he's walking by, I full on backhand, like,
oh shit,
slapped him on the ass. I was like, "What up, bitch?" Like hard. And this guy like looked at me like, and I just kept walking. I didn't even pay attention. And then literally like 15, 20 steps further, like my actual friend CJ comes walking through, and I was like, "I just sexually assaulted a random black man." I called him a bitch and a Christian guy. I was like, "I guarantee he has no idea what's going on."
You know, he went back to like his hotel or the conference room or something. It's like, "You guys will never guess what happened to me."
We gotta pray for this Mexican here.
"You'll never guess what happened to me again."
You see how like randomly placid people have become, though?
Oh, for sure.
Gabe's house is like Key House, except with cats and less magic.
That's true.
Come on, Bum Bun.
Stump cat.
All the cats have different abilities.
No.
And quirks.
I got
about
enough
them.
Of Gabe.
That's why he quit, actually. Yeah. He went to Toyota because he was sick of me.
I needed my safe place. He was like, "Get out of here, cat."
This episode is a mess.
Oh, right now. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about what it's about.
Lock and key. We're talking about lock and key.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 100 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name's Gabe.
I'm Juan.
I'm White Devil.
I love it.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Brown Devil.
Yeah. Today we're here to talk to you about Loke and Kay.
Lock and Key, everybody.
The new Netflix series.
Originally an IDW comic written by Joe Hill, art by Gabriel Rodriguez. I think that's the right name.
Yeah.
Okay. Every once in a while I'm like, go in hard, say wrong thing. But
go in hard, it's actually soft.
Yeah. It's very
poor
pliable.
Mel.
We'll figure it out.
Go check out Damn. Special episode 59 for our interview with Gabriel Rodriguez.
Really cool episode.
I re-listened to it the other day. It was really good. It was a really good interview.
Yeah, it's super cool talking to him about how like his architectural background affected his artwork in Lock and Key and stuff. I don't know. I love that shit. Anyway.
It makes Lock and Key look really amazing too.
Yes, it does.
It shows. Like,
so we're going to talk a little bit about the comic, I'm sure, within this discussion.
Yes. But
the main discussion definitely is about the new Netflix show. Just started streaming a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Seriously, my house is a zoo. I fucking hate it sometimes.
Cats.
first overall impressions?
Deaf dogs.
Yeah.
Old dying dogs.
This is a safe place for deaf dogs, bro.
And dead dogs. Gizmo's definitely dead.
He's a zombie.
He's
a zombie.
He's definitely a zombie.
He's Dodge. He's the Dodge of dogs.
Yeah.
70% that dog is 80% dead.
Like, you know how the girl pulled out her fear with the head key? Gizzy is like
pulled Gabe, out his life.
It's like Gabe's motivation.
Oh. Wow.
Damn.
And his hate for things.
Oh, man.
Apathy. Your dog's just apathy incarnate.
He really is apathy incarnate. He's to the point where he won't even go down the stairs to go outside. You have to, like, pick him up and put him outside, and then he won't come back inside. He'll just stand there and stare at you like, well, you picked me up to put me outside. You better fucking pick me up to bring me inside. Like,
it's like, you put me here.
Son of a bitch. Just randomly before we get started, because it just happened, but I had the weirdest dog-related dream last night where Petrie was doing stand-up comedy on open mic night.
What the fuck?
Nice.
Like, seriously, hey, like I went to
story.
It's better than a shitty animal story.
Wow.
Every time we come to
Everybody hating each other right now?
I don't know. I was just, if we're going to hate, I was going to hate too.
I was listening intently to your funny dog story.
So how was
Because I think that would be funny.
Did Petrie do like a tight 5 minutes on tearing up furniture or something?
The jokes actually weren't half bad. It was like
piddling on your
you
face.
Got problems. Try being less than a year old, looking like you're 50. Like, I remember her saying that. I was like, "That's a pretty good joke."
Like an old man. It's an shit, that went over good
for an old man looking Yorkie. That was a pretty good joke. Technically, I wrote it in my sleep.
Apparently, Petrie
pay
kills.
Me money.
I was like, I wrote that material.
Petrie needs a Netflix special.
Yeah.
Carlos Mencia is already eyeing it.
Probably.
Lock and key?
Yeah, back to lock and key. It was a very random thing that happened.
It's the Petrie key.
Yeah.
I'm finished.
You're on episode
I'm
on episode 4.
I'm also finished.
I am finished.
You can totally spoil
you
things.
You fucking slacker.
I
didn't watch the other two movies. Like
It's not like a straight run through of any of the sets, so.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, it doesn't follow the book.
I mean,
it does
follow pretty close to, like, one of the arcs, but
It's
not like page to page or anything.
Yeah, of course.
So Lock and Key really, each volume follows a fairly definitive arc with, like, an overarching, like, story. Yep.
I went to Wikipedia, and they're actually broke down in the arcs.
So this show feels like all of them smushed together.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's fine. Like, it works really well for television. I think the way the comic book is structured works better, would work better for a comic book than it would for a television show.
I can agree with that. I don't know what the one-shots are because I haven't read those yet.
I've read a couple of the one-shots, and I've read a couple of the miniseries as well.
Now I need to find the trade paperbacks.
Okay. First of all, this comic book is...
I told you to buy them a long time ago.
Like,
did you?
Yeah. I told everybody to because they're going to be expensive. Fuck now.
Well, the trade paperback from
John. I bet
John,
even the trades are going to be decently up there.
As long as IDW reprinted, unlike they fucking did with...
Have they reprinted them?
I'm sure they have.
I know John's getting them into a shop because he ordered a bunch. He wanted them here before the show dropped, but they're here now.
There was a book where we talked about it was a comic book that turned into a TV show as well. Oh,
Boys?
Not Watchmen. It was something else.
Boys?
Yes, The Boys, where they didn't...
The Boys?
No, it's something that Dark Horse had. But Dark Horse didn't reprint Umbrella Academy. Yes. They didn't reprint in front of Umbrella Academy, so the trades like skyrocketed because they just weren't available.
Right.
But I think IDW, with it being connected to Joe Hill and Netflix and stuff, they definitely reprinted before the show came out.
Gerard Way.
Umbrella Academy has reprinted now, but it lost a lot of steam on potential comic book sales because there just weren't any copies of it in the market. Like, people were paying like $50 for like volume one. And stuff like that, which is weird.
I don't think John is like that, though. I don't think he's going to mark up a
trade. Oh, I wouldn't think John would mark it up. I was saying if they hadn't reprinted them the old books just are more valuable because they're not
because
actually
you just
on the
can't
shelf.
Find it.
Right. I think a lot of that comes from the retailer, though. I don't think a lot of that comes from the manufacturer.
No, it's because there's
the
no
secondary market.
There's no right. books on the shelf, is what I'm saying. Like if they don't reprint them, you have to go to like, the eBay and get them secondhand.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So, that's I think that's kind of what I'm
so
saying.
So if John gets them, he's not going to mark them up. Right. Most comic book shops aren't going to mark them up. But the guy that already has a copy of it, he just goes on to eBay or wherever, sells it for $50, and that's the only place you can find it.
And if they weren't reprinted, John would have to be buying them from customers at a higher price
and selling them at a higher price. So, but then again, he's the secondary market.
Right.
I don't know if John buys trade paperbacks anyway, but
I'm sure
he would.
Comic book shops do.
I think you make a good amount of money.
I don't think he seeks them out, but he keeps them if they come with a collection.
Yeah.
Does he seek out collections, or do they come to him now?
He just got another huge one.
Right.
It's the last time I was in the shop,
he was
working on one.
Established enough that they just come to him. Because it only took the Nerd Store a year before people were like, oh, you have a comic book shop? I would love to sell you 6 long boxes of comics from the 90s that I speculated on.
All right, Lock and Key has a 67% critic and a 72% audience.
So that's not
which
bad.
I think it's not bad.
It seems low
for the audience to me.
Yeah.
It's low for everything to me.
Well, the critics are bitches. Everything they do is low. So
I kind of thought they would like this book, though.
Well, so they're never going to be happy with a show full of child actors.
That's true.
Yeah, so that's probably why it's not getting a really great critic
not
score.
All children.
And that's not the kids'
it's like
fault. They're just
$22 for the hardcover.
Kids.
Volume 1.
That seems pretty low for a hardcover.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's what it is on Amazon. Probably.
Which means they definitely reprinted.
Yeah, probably.
Cool, I'll have to get it.
So what do you think?
In stock on March 29th. It's not even in stock yet, so maybe that's coming.
That's far. It's after my birthday.
So what do you guys think, like, overall of, like, how the show presents itself, like, how the keys are presented, like, what are some of your favorite, like, ideas? Because that's what's cool about Lock and Key is how each key does something different, and it's, like, visually represented in a different way, and, like, everything is, you know, is interesting. Why are you guys making this weird noise?
It's a thing that he does every episode.
I don't know. I'm curious what you guys think of it. Like, personally, I love the way the head key is done in the comic book is different than the way it's done in the television show. So in the comic book, their head literally opens up.
Yep.
And your memories and fears and all of those things, like, you just reach in and take it out of your own head. And it's visually, it's like really, really stunningly cool looking.
It's very much how like they operate on Data in Star Trek, if you've seen all those episodes. Yeah,
but there's
where
no just,
like,
way.
Pop his head open and like.
program. But there's, I feel like there'd not be a way to do that.
They're not be
on a television show without it looking super dumb.
I think you could do it. I just think it would be in real life. It would be absolutely horrifying if your little sister's like, check this out. it wouldn't be like, that's cool. Let's mess with it. It'd be like, what the fuck?
Well, but they're like that. They are like that
but,
in the comic.
Yeah. I think if you think of it just in terms of physical things. Like, it's much harder for me to dig for a certain memory in your head if I'm actually trying to dig in your head.
It is,
and
unless it just presents itself to you because you're looking for it. But
which it could.
I agree with you. I think they did it for TV.
I think it looks cool on
the TV. I think
they
did it the right way.
Yeah.
They, for sure. I 100% agree with that. It's completely different from the way it's presented in the comic book, but it's awesome. The way the way his head is, like, chaotic, the little boy, and everything's crazy and fun. It's like a jungle gym versus, like, the super structure of, like, the sister's head and, like, how their personalities are represented in different ways. Super smart way to do it. Really
cool. The one thing I don't like is how easily things – like not in their two heads because her head is very organized. It's just labeled and shit. But the more you get into the series the lady who's in the psychiatric hospital, her head is supposed to be just kind of everywhere. And Dodge finds a memory like that. And it doesn't present herself. She's just like, oh, there it is. And it's just right there. I was like, oh, that was pretty lame.
So I think part of it is that...
I don't think that she's actually supposed to be crazy. I think she's locked inside of her own head.
But she's
like catatonic.
But physically, the way it's organized in her head looks... messy and it looks crazy. Yeah. It doesn't look organized at all.
Dungeons
and
for demon, the
for the memory to be like right on top, it just was kind of weird.
So what I think it is, and they kind of allude to it in the book, is that when you're trying to find something in yours or somebody else's head, they come to you. Like, it's almost like you attract them and you can also hone in on
it. You know
it.
What we should do? I don't mean to cut you off. Is we should probably give a little bit of what the show is about.
Nah.
I feel like...
Lock and Key.
Yeah.
There it's about a family that moves into keys. A family home called Key House. And guess what? It's full of keys.
That do magical shit.
That do magical shit.
And if your last name's Locke, I mean...
Bad news.
Yeah. It hasn't gone well for them yet, but it's turning around.
It's not so their dad
little
dies.
Boy, though.
Doesn't really turn around.
It's turning. It seems like it's... That little boy
I don't know. I feel like it got worse by the end of the last episode.
That was... I think that's the last episode might contribute to the lower score than I thought.
You think?
I mean, I thought the last episode was pretty terribly done.
Same.
It was just like I could tell... But the fucking twist was immediately.
Right.
I mean, everybody could. It was just like that twist was just fucking not sold well.
They M. Night Shyamalan'd it?
I mean, even Shyamalan has sometimes his twists are sold well.
They
he
M.
just
Night,
does weird shit.
They M. Night The Last Airbender'd it?
Yeah.
Ouch.
So
it's still too soon. The family
lives in a different state. Their father gets killed in that state, and they have to move
murdered.
To this mansion.
Yes,
which they don't really know anything about. They know they own it,
right?
But they don't know any of their father's history. It sounds like because he doesn't talk about it.
Because he doesn't know a lot of his history.
Are you sure?
No, I think he remembered. As you watch the show more, I think he does.
So in the book, they imply that he took part of his memories out, too, just to, like, protect himself and
so
his family.
In the show, Ellie says, we found a – which bothers me.
Because I know that's a big part of why the brother doesn't remember it.
Well, the brother, they took all his fucking
– yeah.
They lobotomized that bitch. They're just like –
yeah.
But
you saw one horrific thing. You get no childhood memories.
No, which is weird because they should have just taken out that specific event, but
buried all this shit underground.
No adults remember anything about what's going on, which is weird. It's one of the things I didn't like. Not that part, but Ellie it's just a throwaway line. Oh, we found a way to fix that. And then that's it. Like we found a way to make sure we remembered. So I thought she was talking about herself and Randall.
It's a key.
Yeah.
That's why they all have keyholes like on their chest.
So again, that's what I thought, but there's nothing to – it's just we found a way to remember.
Oh, I know. Just in the comic books, like adults not remembering is like part of the thing.
Right.
And so
if you're an adult, you can't conceptualize the keys for some reason. Like it has to do with like – I mean he's – Joe Hill is Stephen King's son, so it has to do with childhood wonderment or some bullshit. Yeah. So
I want to be a child.
Don't we all? Except for that it was awful back then too.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not awful now.
No, my kids hate being kids still.
Yeah, mine too.
They want to be adults, and then I'm like, no, adults are worse. Like
every kid wants to be an adult, and then once you get there, you're like,
I should go back to being a kid.
This was
and then
a
everybody's
mistake.
Like, nope, you can't go back to being a kid. Yeah. You're like, suicide.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. Don't commit suicide. Call hotline.
So throughout – yes, for sure.
Just any hotline.
Any hotline might do. Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
If you call a sex hotline and you're like, hey, I'm going
to
commit suicide, I bet she'd try and help you.
Yeah.
If for 99 cents a minute, she better.
Don't call our shit, though.
Hey, I'll try.
We don't answer.
Well, but if I hear that, I'm calling your ass back.
Yeah. We don't need another Michael Kirk on our hands.
No, poor Michael Kirk.
Fuck me.
No, whatever. Real.
So,
you're not real.
So slowly... They start finding Bodhi starts finding most of the keys.
Yes, which like I love how Bodhi's character too is just trying to die. Like the keys are not going well, and then he has the head key, which opens like a very ominous chest behind him, and he's like, "I'm gonna go in there." I'm like, well, turns out to be awesome.
it's not ominous as soon as he opens it. When it opens it, there's like circus music and there shit.
Yeah, but behind him, like the scene of it does not look.
To be fair, Pennywise could have been in there.
It also has his name on fair. It, too.
It just doesn't look right.
Like it just magically appears and it has his name on
and
it.
The keys and have not been going well so
side
far.
Side note, and I say this about every movie and fucking TV show. The kid's like 7 years old and we're leaving him alone by himself in this fucking giant mansion. Where is your family? Like, that kid probably would have been dead. Like, what the fuck? Where is an adult?
I think they're playing off like the mom's in the house.
Nah, or like her. Or like she goes to the store all the time. She's like, well, you want to come? Nah, you're five. All right, cool. Stay home.
So my mom used to do that all the time.
Yeah, because she's crazy.
No, because she was, I mean, not just that, but because she was a single mom. And she knew I had to be responsible already. And so she would ask, do you want to go to the grocery store with me? Do you want to
I think
this?
Literally and you I go would... back to like before 2000 and it was just normal.
I that's agree how I grew with up.
That. Like, we call it being a latchkey kid.
It was normal.
I don't know that it should have been normal.
I'm not leaving my 7-year-old by themselves in
but,
the house.
But well, I'm just saying
that's because your 7-year-old can't take care of himself.
Yeah, he can't. Yeah, you're right.
I know. I would never leave Hannah by herself at home either. I even thought about doing it a couple of weeks ago and was like,
just to go get a drink.
Yeah, no, to buy weed, dude.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it like what happened?
What happened?
Because when I was that age, I was responsible enough to stay alone.
Here's the thing. I probably thought I was responsible enough. I don't think I was.
No, I was. Like, I knew my mom would leave the house. Like, I was just not. I knew what I couldn't do. Like, I couldn't turn on the stove. I couldn't do shit. I just watch TV or read a book.
I was in the same
my room.
That's how my youngest is. Leave him at home all the time.
Yeah.
When I was like, a lot of the time, he just doesn't want to come to shit.
When I was like 9 or 10 years old, my mom would absolutely just leave me at home for, you know, 8-9 hours by myself. And I knew what I same thing. I was allowed to make either mac and cheese or Hot Pockets. I was allowed to watch television or play like video games or read a book, but I wasn't allowed to like go anywhere. Like if I went anywhere, I would be like grounded fucking forever. So
yeah, I think it just there's no beat. Yeah, there's no beatings. It's yeah. like
that might be part
you get
of it.
Savagely beaten a few times, and you're like, all right, it's all right.
Don't
it.
Turn on, don't turn on the oven this time.
Or when we go to a company's house. Just shut the fuck up and sit down, say nothing, do nothing. Last time we did stuff, we got fucked up. It wasn't worth it.
I think probably 11, probably 10, maybe, depending on how long.
I think for us, it's been 11 or 12 for all of the kids. Except
for Bailey. I think that's probably a pretty good.
No, Bailey wasn't allowed to be at home by herself until
she was 11 or 12. My fear is less like, I think he's going to burn my house down, and more of, does he have the ability to really know what to do if something crazy happens?
Well,
and
the answer to
really
that is always going to be
no. But I think at 11 and 12, you're probably conscious to be, oh, shit, I need to call 911, or you know what I mean?
You
know where the fire extinguishers are, or whatever.
You know what I think another big difference is? Nobody has a landline anymore.
Yeah.
I knew that it any moment my mom or dad would call and be like, what are you doing? And if I didn't answer immediately, I was going to get savagely beaten or like at the very least screamed at. And because a phone is now like portable in your pocket, your parents call you. What are you doing? Oh, I'm at home watching TV. Meanwhile, buying crack cocaine down the street. Like, it doesn't, there's no way
we're
for
you
to like,
track
really
the phone,
see
there is
if
a
they're
way.
At home. There's I mean, there is, but.
Technically
but, like,
a better way.
There, it's not the same as this phone is.
It doesn't
for
promote
sure
the same feeling
right
in the kid.
Here. Yeah.
All the time.
I think that's a big part
see,
of
I
it.
I always knew just if something crazy was going down, just go to my grandma's house because she lived right next door.
Call 911 and leave. Yeah.
My grandma lived literally was our neighbor, and there was no chance she was at home because
she's a grandma.
Yeah.
Grandmas are always at home.
Yeah. If she was at home, she was walking to the post office, which was 3 blocks away. I could find
or
her.
Or she might be walking back.
Yeah. Anywhere else, I had to go buy her shit. So.
Side note, I'm not leaving my 7-year-old in this giant mansion.
Oh, no, I wouldn't either. I'm just saying, like.
Cemetery in the back, and there's cliffs back there. And
I don't think they know the cemetery is there. Like, I mean, he does from flying around as a ghost, right. But I think for quite a while,
yeah.
like, family the family doesn't. Has no idea that it's there.
I mean, just the well house is freaky enough.
The caves, the well house, right. The cliffs, like, you know, I don't think they really know, like, what's on the grounds. Like, that's a big part of it is every moment that the mom sees something new, she's seeing it for the first time because she didn't spend any time there. So right. She's like, oh, there's this creepy fucking well house with a gate that my 7-year-old could slip through and definitely he could jump down the well. Like, but then
or she might has, collapse on him because it looks old and disheveled.
She has so much shit going on trying to, like, repair the house that she doesn't – I just think she's overwhelmed.
How much would that fucking property be worth?
Oh, fucking
billion.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it's – almost inconceivable that they even moved in.
Fucking sell it.
Like the fact that, like, after he died, it just wasn't like, oh, I inherited this bajillion dollars. Like, I'm going to move there and it's going to be in squalor for years. I don't think you would.
It's beautiful later on because the kids find out what's there.
Right.
Because the mom does say, we're going to move. You know, I came to the conclusion this is too much. We'll sell the house and I'm sorry I brought you. And the kids are like, nah. We want to stay because you have that in you. And I you're never going to sell that house unless you forget, which I don't think Rendell forgot.
Yeah.
You're just never going to because you know what comes with it and you don't want to just hand that off to somebody.
Right. But she might.
Right.
Like the
right.
mom having no clue might right. just be like, oh, giant expensive ass house. Yeah, let's sell this.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the likelihood of even moving in, I think, is super small. But I mean, that's a different. Lock and Key would be a very different book. It's just like, we're not going to live there. We're going to sell that. We're going to move to Florida.
Just live like fucking kings.
Just them doing normal shit.
Be quite did, so that, did the oven beep?
Babe.
Did everything cook solid?
It's cook liquid.
I hope not. Here. You guys keep talking.
That does happen to things.
So what did you think about the show? Aside from the
great.
Ending.
Yeah, I think
I do think, since he's not here, I do think at the end when they're like, where's Ellie? Where's Ellie? Where's Ellie? And then they throw the girl in. Yeah. Oh, that was Ellie.
Yeah, I had a series of like called it. Like while the outro is playing and it's like, well, saw that coming.
That's lame too. You know, like, if a series ends and all of a sudden there's ominous music and one person, that guy's bad. Like he's a villain.
Well, and here's the thing is like, so game's back, whatever. But they know that if they put him back in the well house, they're stuck in the fucking well house. So why risk opening the door to hell
right.
when you could just throw her ass back in the well house, which is 15 feet away. The cliffs are fucking like 2 hours away, and then we got to spelunk down with a body, and hopefully she don't wake up.
Well, I think,
and then
I
we
think
open the hell door, and hopefully do not become possessed to throw her ass back. Just strip search her for the fucking key, throw her in the well house.
I agree with you. I was going to
close the fucking door.
Say, they're so stupid, they didn't check any pockets or anything for keys.
No.
But because they wouldn't have been able to put her in the well house without the N-word.
Hey, honestly, I do love the show, but they handle every situation stupid. Like when the guy comes in and they know he's coming with the gun, the guy that killed their father, and they don't just immediately go get the box that lets you tell people what the fuck to do.
Why didn't they use that any other time?
Yes, I was just like, they're just like, instead, we're going to pretend like he's not going to know he's in my head. And we do this super ridiculous thing that's fucking just, hey, don't shoot us. Give us the gun. Go away.
Like, I don't know why they didn't use that against.
I mean, that makes for a not good story.
I don't know why they didn't use that against Dodge. You know what I mean?
Well, like, I mean, she's a demon. Like, maybe it doesn't work on her.
I would have tried.
Yeah.
If I had a box that I could physically tell you what to do, like,
true.
I would try.
True. And I thought about that, too, but. At the very least, the human is susceptible.
Yeah.
We tried not to ruin it while you were gone, son. Oh, we ruined it for everybody else.
All I know...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
All I know is that kids make stupid decisions, so a lot of the stupid decisions that the kids make, I'm like, yeah, I get it.
That one was just the one that was super in your face because they had already exploited that box so heavily. They're just like,
right.
We know we can make people do whatever we want, and I'm just like... Why wouldn't you just immediately grab that? When
I would have that box on me at all times.
Yeah,
I knew somebody was trying to kill me.
In a messenger bag, like right here.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I don't.
There's more to that box than they put in the movie show. But.
Is there more to the mending thing? Because, like, I thought that was kind of the cabinet. Because I thought that was kind of a lame key.
The mending
like you
cabinet?
Just put things in the cabinet,
no, honestly,
and they have to fit in the cabinet, and like it's
no,
weird.
That ends up being pretty important in the comic book.
It does, but I don't think it's like I mean, I get does in the show what it does in the comics, pretty much.
Where it just, like, heals things and fixes things.
Yeah, it's like it has limited powers. It can't, like, fix humans. But
the tree key was kind of lame.
The tree key is a plant control key. That's how they use it.
In the comic book.
It controls plants. It does cool things with plants, but they use it to, like, suck his memories into the ground on a tree.
Oh, see, that did not come across to me.
No, it did not. At least I think it is, because there is a plant control key in the comics. And I think that's what it is.
And I think with the mending closet or wardrobe or whatever, I think it can fix, like, it can heal people. It just can't bring them back from the dead.
Does that mean that it, because the wardrobe was tiny, mean that it grows to the object?
I remember it being like a little stand-up thing that you could put people in.
Yeah, I don't remember if people can go in or not.
Boy goes in.
Yeah.
Bodhi goes in.
Yeah, because
in the show.
In the show, it's just like that, but closed.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks like a little shelf that's closed that you put knickknacks on. Like, there's no way you're getting into that shelf.
So in the book, it's like, it's not, there's no shelves in it. It just opens.
Oh.
It's like a little wardrobe.
I have to remember. I can't remember, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I've
there's a key that brings, like, a mimic of people back from the dead.
That's the Echo key.
Yeah.
That's how Dodge came.
They're usually not demons, but
Dodge was a demon. They're still not awesome, though.
Yeah.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah, the fuck that key. Like, it's like, why did you make that one? I don't know that he actually.
So that's the other thing, is I like a little mystery, but if the whole show relies on shit that I don't understand, like, I want to know who built it. Why would you build these things? Did we build them? Like,
we do know that, but it's not in the show.
So that's what I'm saying. That's one thing that's
awesome about the comic book is, like, each, like, segment of the story is punctuated with, like, straight up history about the key, the lock house, the people that made it. And I think because obviously there's going to be at least one more series.
Right.
I think they'll utilize a lot of the ghost time with the cemetery to help explain some of
it. So I will tell you.
Just ghosted and then they never said anything about him again.
I will tell you that the Omega door, or the door, that's not really the Omega door, it's a lock.
It's the Omega key. Yeah.
But so when that door is open, the demons that are coming to this world can't live without a host, right? But when they shoot into this world and die immediately, they leave behind whispering iron. And if you take that
Little rock thing.
That whispering iron is what the keys are made out of. So whatever the demons, I think it's like whatever the demons kind of manipulative power is, becomes what the key's ability is once you craft
makes
it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that's why the kids can hear it talking to them, because it's
whispering.
That's why it's called whispering iron.
That's not a thing that they say in the show.
No, exactly. But it is 100% something. It is in the comics.
Did they build the door? Like, did their their ancestors?
One of their ancestors builds the door and the Omega key to keep it shut.
And then also,
so there was just an opening into. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like if did the Locke family somehow enchant a mountain, and all of a sudden the door was there. Yeah. Okay,
it's like a group of, like, scouts from World War II, isn't it? That accidentally and get, like, possessed, and then it's on his property. And then so he's like a smith or something like that. And then he constructs a door, but he can't keep it closed.
It can be revolutionary. Because it's like really old.
It's an old war. Right. But he can't keep it closed because it's magical. So then he uses the whispering iron to, like, make a lock. And then,
but he has a bunch of other whispering iron that he makes all these keys. And then he becomes obsessed with it. Like, and they end up being his downfall. And it's a...
End up being, like, I think, all their downfalls. Well, eventually.
That's what ends up happening, is, like, the more you utilize them, the more you become obsessed with using them for everything. If I remember right, part of the adults not remembering things is a function of a key, like, in the long run.
It could be. I don't remember that. I do remember that there's a magic that makes adults forget, but I don't remember if it's key related.
I think it is key related.
Chet's definitely standing on your laptop, by the way.
No, he's standing next to it.
No, he's got a foot on it.
It's bouncing.
Worried about him getting the feedback.
I enjoyed it. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I mean, I understand the series. I would like to know some of what, like, how these came to be. I
agree that they did not go into that, yeah.
Could be a season 2 thing.
I'm sure it is.
It will be. It has to be.
I'm sure there's probably, like, 3 seasons.
I bet they do, like, a straight-up episode like a standalone.
All the cats. Yeah, because I'm sitting piling on the laptop.
I'm sitting there going like, why would they build a portal to another dimension? It, because that's what that seemed like. It was just the weirdest thing.
Why
to
would
me.
You put this horrible door here?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just build a giant wall around this fucking crazy door?
Well, that's essentially what
build a wall in the key house.
Trump. All the illegal demons out.
Call it the Omega Wall. Not best, the Alpha.
It's the best wall.
It'll be the best wall. Tallest wall, last wall.
It's going to cost $40 million. We're going to make the Omega Demons pay for it.
All right, fuckers. We're coming to the end. What's your favorite key?
Oh, for sure the head key.
I mean, it is the most interesting key.
The head key. It's just a really cool concept.
The get head key.
I really hope.
I like the key where you can go anywhere. I think that's
the anywhere
I like
key
the
anywhere, anywhere key is my favorite.
That's my favorite,
it
too.
It is pretty awesome.
Speaking of get head, isn't the steak and blowjob day coming up? We already had Valentine's Day.
I think it's the 15th.
No,
it's so passed already?
Yeah, I don't know.
There is a 11.
All right, Hulk, relax.
I do really like the Inferno, even though it's not a real key in the comics.
The matchstick key?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah,
it pretty much just turns you into like an X-Man. You're just like burning shit down.
He sets that security guard on fire, and I was like, oh, shit. That looked awesome. Feels bad, bro.
It doesn't seem to have like a real practical function.
Is there a key in the comic book that you want to see in the next season that you didn't see?
I like the one that turns them into animals. That'd like be kind of cool.
Anamorph key.
Yeah, Anamorph key would be pretty sick.
Scholastic Book Fair key.
Oh, do the doors that have to go with the key? Like, do they whisper to you too? Because he finds the ghost key, and then he just knows what door to open.
Certain keys just do whatever
with whatever door. They're around. Like, so if you look at the anywhere key, you just have to have known another door, and you can go through any door into that door.
But I thought the ghost key was specific to that door.
The ghost key is specific to that door, I believe.
But because of the way it whispers, it like tells him like this is where you
and it has the same symbol on the fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, does it? I don't know if I saw that.
But things like the head key, obviously, it's just dependent on who puts it in the back of their head.
Right.
Yeah.
So randomly, Dodge murders a child.
Oh, that was the best.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck? Just throws a child in front of a subway train.
Yeah.
Just
might have lived. Might have fallen off the side.
No, he died.
No, he did. He's dead.
Genuinely one of the funnier things in that show.
She's just like, all right, fuck off.
She is.
And then
demon.
His friends are like, oh, shit.
Well, she's technically an echo of a demon. What is that? It's like a turbo demon.
Think about that happening in this life. Child from several states over appears dead in New York subway system.
It would be on the news for approximately one day.
Yeah, probably.
Can you imagine that? Like, that's like the hookup of a demon. Because the demon, as a demon, she was killable. And then she got brought back to life as like an unkillable demon.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like...
They didn't explain how they could kill her either.
Well, it's just inhabiting a human. So they just murked her the first time with the hammer.
No, I know, they say that she can't be killed by regular means.
Yeah, they just can't kill her.
Like, that's why they got to lock her in the wellhouse. So they got to throw her in the fucking demon hole.
That's why they threw her in the demon hole.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's what makes her unique. Is
well, I'm curious how the other demons were killed. If when they opened the Omega door beginning.
The other demons are just a possessed human.
So as soon as you,
that's you right. just kill right. the human,
they brought, I
it
forgot they brought
demon.
Him back. Yeah. I got you.
But because they brought her
sense.
Back, it's like it's a mess.
Yeah, because the black woman fucked it all up.
Stupid woman, stupid person. That makes no sense. Like I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna love.
Technically, racism
enough.
And misogyny thrown mixed together.
Some classic people Doyle. Make really stupid choices, and this show is just a bunch of people making stupid choices.
The kids do it. Hey, they fall into that trap of every horror movie where the kids shit are instantly goes weird and you don't tell anybody about it. Right. You just, oh, fuck, that was weird. Okay,
why were they
cool.
so forgiving, too? It's like, oh, so you, A, broke your promise, B, the demon you brought back fucking sweet-talked some stupid kid into murdering our father. And that never gets brought up. It's like, yeah, the whole reason that they're there and their dad's dead is her fucking fault. And they're just like, ah, it'll be all right. People make bad choices.
Accurate.
I'd be like, right, bitch, so give us your keys and the fuck out.
Let's rate it. I give it a
I'm giving it a thumbs up.
For sure.
Yeah, it's definitely
thumbs up
for me, too.
Keys up.
Keys up.
Oh, keys up.
How many keys is this? This is, I'm going to say this is 4 out of 6 keys.
Honestly, that's like a pretty legit rating, I think. It's like a B.
Yeah.
It's not an A, but it's a B. It could have been an A.
Let's even say B plus, because there's definitely some really great visual work in this.
Side note, the first it's a really fun ride. The first principal teacher guy, awful. He made a stupid decision too.
Which one? Oh, the black
the guy who like put the
shows up and uses his flash.
Just like what? Like, don't use your flash.
He's old though.
Just scope it out later. Like, it's just weird. Yeah.
Or just look at it and be like, shit, walk away. Tell somebody.
Somebody tell my mom.
Well, it sounds like we all liked it.
Yes.
So on that note, be sure to check us out. You can find us on the internet at TOTLB.com or, of course, Patreon.com/TOTLB to support the show. You can also give us a call at 970-573-6148. Leave a message. Let us know what you thought of Lock and Key. Find us on social media, which you can do through our website, TOTLB.com. Probably the easiest way to find us is at Facebook.com/ThinkingOutsideTheLongBox. But with that said, I've been Gabe.
I'm Juan.
Still White Devil.
Yeah, I guess so. I've been so weird. I was and therefore have been Gabe. Now.
I'm still Juan. Yeah, so. All right, we're out.
I'm Tim Beck.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.